Well, if you have a copy of the scriptures, we're going to read a single verse from the Old Testament, and it is from the Ten Commandments. It is from Exodus 20 and verse 12. Exodus 20 and verse 12. And some of the children who meet with me for Catechism Club on Wednesday evenings know that I often tell them this is my favorite commandment. Exodus 20:12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. May God bless the reading and the hearing of his word today. Well, we're continuing in this afternoon time a topical series on the Christian family. And last time we looked at the foundations of the Christian family. We looked at Colossians 3, the household code there. And today we're going to continue looking at the topic of what do children owe their parents? What do children owe their parents? Now, this series that we're doing now is actually one that I did 10 years ago in 2012. And I figured that there was actually some good content in the series. And there are a lot of people here who weren't here when we did the series 10 years ago. And so I thought it would be worth returning to it. Again, we're looking at the question today of what are the biblical duties and obligations of children to parents? And we're all children here. I'm going to speak especially to the younger children still in your parents' home. But guess what? I'm a child too. Sadly, my parents are gone, but I have my wife's parents who are in their 80s, and I have a responsibility that I have to them. And we who are adults who have living parents, we have duties toward them. So it's really a message for all of us. And next Sunday, God willing, we will do a message on what are the duties of parents to children. But today, it's what is the duty, from the Bible's perspective, of children toward their parents. Now, there are universal elements in these duties. That is, there are some things that, according to the moral law of God, are binding upon the consciences of people who, even who aren't believers. And they might not even believe in God, know anything of the scriptures. But Paul says that the scriptures are written on their hearts. But especially for those of us who are Christians, we have the revelation of scripture made plain, and we're told clearly within the word, we are to honor father and mother. And we have a duty toward those who are parents. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the churches at Ephesus and Colossae in the so-called household codes, he wrote both to children and parents. We read this last week in Colossians 3, verses 20 and 21, where it says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." And what's really interesting about that in Ephesians 5 and 6 and in Colossians 3, as Paul writes this letter to the church at Ephesus and the church at Colossae, is by virtue of the fact that he addresses children and parents, what does that just say? It says that there were children in the worship services of the church sitting alongside of their parents, and that some of those children were Christians. Some of them had come to faith early in their lives. And they were believers. And Paul was addressing them about their duties as Christian children towards their parents. And he also addresses the Christian parents about what their duties are to their children. And so there's a message here that comes from the Apostle Paul that's for all of us who are here today. I want to trace out, if I can, five biblical duties as I see them, of children to their parents. Five duties of children to their parents. First of all, first duty, children have the duty of honoring and respecting father and mother. Children have the duty of honoring and respecting father and mother. This is, of course, the essence of what we call the fifth commandment. You know, there are 10 commandments, and we read here in Exodus 20:12, one of those 10 commandments, as someone said, they're not the 10 suggestions, they're the 10 commandments. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And we did a longer series. I'm sure Carol remembers this some years back when we looked at this fifth commandment. And we said, you know, this fifth commandment, it addresses the duties of children to parents. But in principle, it's about something a lot deeper. It's about the duties towards those who are in authority. And so it can be applied to duties within the church, to the leaders of the church, or duties within society, to the civil magistrate. There are lots of duties in the workplace, from the employees to those who are their managers or supervisors. It's about having proper respect, honor towards those who are in positions of authority. And in our Baptist catechism, it sort of explains this. It points out that this commandment requires the preserving the honor and performing the duties belonging to everyone in their several places and relations as superiors, inferiors, or equals. Children are to show honor in a respectful attitude toward their parents. This means they are to speak respectfully to their parents. One way this might be evidenced is by using sir and ma'am when addressing parents or other elders. Children are to listen to their parents when they are spoken to by turning in the direction of their parents with an open and respectful posture. It's a sign of disobedience if your parent's speaking to you and you're turned the other way. What you're saying through your body language is, I don't care what you have to say to me. And it's showing dishonor. And as a child, particularly a child who is a Christian, they should want to honor the fifth commandment and turn and listen respectfully. Children are not to speak ill publicly of their parents or to publicly disagree with their parents, though they might certainly seek private entreaty in cases where there might have been an injustice or a disagreement, or if there's a need for further explanation and understanding. But part of the duty of honoring parents is to be careful in the way that you interact with them publicly. In the Old Testament, perhaps the premier example of a child dishonoring a parent is found in the account of the rebellion of Absalom against his father, David. And when Absalom rebelled against David, eventually Absalom would die in fighting a civil war even against his father. And after, though, even the death of his rebellious son, David offered this lament in 2 Samuel 18, verse 32. And the king said unto Cushi, is the young man Absalom safe? And Cushi answered, the enemies of my lord the king and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt be as that young man is. And the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son. Even when Absalom had rebelled against David, and Absalom had, we might say, received his just rewards for that rebellion, still David's heart was broken at the loss of his son. Children of all ages, let me tell you something. You can bring your parents great joy, or you can break your parents' hearts. It's up to you. Will you bring your parents great joy, or will you break their hearts? If you follow basketball, a lot of people know, and it's been so long ago now since he was active in coaching, but people who are fans of basketball certainly know about John Wooden, who was the famous coach for many years at UCLA. And he was a tremendous coach, won many championships. And in his memoir of his life, he tells a story about going to recruit a young man. And this was a five-star recruit, somebody everybody in the country wanted to recruit to have on his team. But of course, UCLA at that time was a school everybody wanted to go to. And Wooden tells a story of going to this young man's house to have a visit with him, to speak with him and his parents about the possibility of offering him a scholarship to go to UCLA. And Wooden says in the memoir that during the visit there, that this young man, who was an incredible basketball talent, was terribly rude to his parents. He interrupted them. He spoke harshly to them. He dismissed them when they said things. And at the end of the interview, Wooden says in his memoir that they bid farewell to the young man, and they walked out, and they did not offer him a scholarship, even though he was one of the top prospects in the nation. What was Wooden's reasoning? He said, if he could not be respectful to his parents, then he most likely would not be respectful towards me as a coach. He measured his character by how he treated his parents. And you know what? Parents aren't perfect. We'll talk about that in a moment. But parents are placed in the home in order to be, we might say, sort of a substitute for God. And by being respectful of one's parents and honoring one's parents, one is really learning how to honor God and how to be obedient to Him. Second duty, children have the duty of obeying father and mother. In the household codes in the New Testament, the operative term that is used to describe the appropriate disposition of a child to a parent is obedience. In Ephesians 6:1, Paul wrote, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Colossians 3:20, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." Again, it has rightly been said that delayed obedience is disobedience. This is the problem with the modern disciplinary method known as counting to three. I'm going to count to three, but what does that teach? It teaches that obedience may be delayed. We should teach our children instead from an early age quickly to obey. As a child grows older into the teen years, it is not inappropriate for a child respectfully to seek explanation and reasoning on any command that they might not understand or like or need clarification upon. Parents should take into consideration the development of their child and not treat a 16-year-old the way they treated them when they were 3 years old, for example. And so there can be reasonable explanations and conversations about decisions that are made. But from the earliest age, children should be taught to obey. Again, requests for clarification can happen with the right spirit. A child might say, "Yes, I will do what you ask, but can I seek clarification on this? Or may I offer my viewpoint on it?" So if you're an older child, you know, I would encourage you to do that with your parents. And parents, if your older child does that, I would encourage you to receive that and not to be overbearing, not to be a tyrant. Remember, because it says fathers are not to exasperate their children. Note, however, that in Ephesians 6:1, Paul says that this obedience is to be in the Lord. Just as a wife is not called to submit to a husband in an unlawful and ungodly action or manner, so a child is not bound to obey parents in ungodly or unlawful actions. Years ago, when I was in college, I worked at a summer Christian boys camp in North Carolina. And I was a counselor and had 12, 13-year-old boys in my A-frame cabin. We went through activities in the week. And one week in particular, there was a little boy that had been brought to the camp from a church. And, of course, we were ministering to the boys and talking to them about different things in their lives. And we were trying to talk to them about Christ. But this little boy shared with us, some of the counselors, actually told us through tears, that his father would ask him to get on his bike and ride to a place in the trailer park where they lived to get drugs for him. And he asked us if he had to obey his father in this. And we told him, no, He didn't have to obey his father in that, because that was something that was unlawful. And we also told our camp director about this, who shared this with the church leaders who had brought the boy to the camp. Perhaps the most vivid scriptural picture of a child's lawful, unconditional obedience to a parent is found in Genesis 22, when Isaac obeyed the commandment of his father Abraham and was bound on the altar ready to be sacrificed, anticipating the obedience of Christ to the will of his father on the cross. Third, what do children owe their parents? Third duty of children towards parents. Children have the duty of listening to the counsel of father and mother. It has often been said that one's parents get wiser and wiser the older you get. When you're younger, you think, "These, what do they know?" Then all of a sudden you get in your 20s, your 30s, like, oh, wait a second. They were actually pretty smart about that. They actually got some of those things right. A wise child of any age will realize that he has much to learn from the counsel of his parents. This is the setting for the entire book of Proverbs, which begins in Proverbs 1:8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. The book of Proverbs generally affirms the wisdom of seeking counselors. Usually, if you're thinking about some kind of decision, you're thinking about just, I'm just going to go off on a wild tangent and do whatever I've decided to do. I think the Bible would generally say that's not wise. You need to seek the counsel of others. In fact, Proverbs 11:14 says, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. A wise child will seek the counsel of his parents in his education, in his vocational calling, in his finances, in his marriage prospects, etc. Of course, when a man marries, according to Genesis 2:24, he leaves the household of his mother and father and establishes his own household and cleaves to his wife. And now he seeks the counsel of his own wife, even over that of his parents. And a woman, when she marries, seeks the leadership of her own husband over that of her parents. Still, even after marriage, a man and a woman can see their parents as valuable resources. Certainly, in the best circumstances and the healthiest circumstances, the parents can be a spiritual resource and example to their children throughout their entire lives. Fourth, children have the duty of caring for father and mother in their old age. The Bible was, of course, written before the days of Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid and the whole social safety network. The burden of care for aging parents from the biblical perspective is not the duty of the state, but it is the duty of the children. We are to do this to the degree that providential circumstances will allow. Look, for example, at Paul's teaching on the care of widows in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, where he said, honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents. For that is good and acceptable before God. He then adds in 1 Timothy 5:8, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. When you become a parent, if God blesses you to become a parent, you will realize how much your parents did for you. In the natural process of time, the tables typically begin to turn, and you may be given the opportunity to serve your parents even as they served you. Think about what your parents did for you. They changed your diapers. They fed you when you couldn't feed yourself. They held you and comforted you when you were upset. If they did all of that for you, see, you can't even remember it. you have a duty to do the same for them. Fifth duty. Where there have been failures and breaches due to sin, children have the duty of understanding and appropriately forgiving father and mother. Part of personal, emotional, and spiritual maturity is coming to the realization that your parents were not perfect. And perhaps they did not do everything perfectly in your upbringing. But part of personal maturity as a Christian is realizing that you can appropriately still, even if everything wasn't perfect, extend to them forgiveness and grace. This is certainly not to whitewash the experience of those who have went through real abuse. Sometimes full reconciliation cannot ever be achieved if you've been gravely sinned against. But in ordinary circumstances, the disposition of children towards parents should be one of grace towards them, even in their faults. Peter said in 1 Peter 4:8, "And above all things, have fervent charity," or love, "among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins." And in Luke 6:37, Christ taught, "Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven." One of the best examples I've ever read about relating to this came in a book written by a woman named Faith Cook. The book is called Troubled Journey, and it's published by Banner of Truth Trust. And I've actually written a review of it, and then there's an audio version and a written version of the review. The audio version you can find on sermonaudio.com, and the written version's on my academia.edu page. In this book, Faith Cook writes about her life as a missionary child in war-torn China. And she writes openly about many of the hardships that her family endured as her parents pursued their service in China along the lines of the mission philosophy of a fellow named Hudson Taylor. And in those days, in the so-called China Inland Mission, those missionaries of that era were taught to put the service of Christ above everything, including their families. And many would sacrifice the needs of their families on the altar of missionary service. Shortly after, for example, the tragic death of one of her brothers, Cook was left as a child in a boarding school while her parents returned to China, not taking care of some of her needs and grieving this terrible loss of her brother. She notes in the book that her father's commitment to mission work was, quote, all-consuming, at times almost obsessive in character. She adds that to understand her parents' decisions, one must realize the ethos in which it was made. An immense value was placed on this sort of sacrifice by the Christian community in general, and it was viewed as honorable and highly commendable. See, they were trying to do what was right, they were trying to serve Christ, but it was doing damage to their family. But they were sort of still pursuing it. She reflects, these men and women felt they were offering up to their God their Isaacs, their most valued possessions, as indeed they were. But sadly, the question they did not address was whether God required such sacrifices. As Cook completes the story of her childhood, she relates the long-distance letter-writing relationship and infrequent contact she had with her parents throughout her teenage and college years. She notes that her unsettled childhood, sheltered school environment, and the loss of any stable home base left her ill-prepared for the cold realities of the adult world. Despite these hardships, however, this is what's great about the book. Cook also points out the Lord's gracious provision throughout her experience. He was kind to her, even out of a difficult Christian family experience. She went on to marry, to become a pastor's wife, and to raise her own family. In conclusion, Cook offered this reflection. It had indeed been a troubled journey for both my brother, her surviving brother, and me, But as I look back over the path I have traveled, I can see now that despite the undoubted sufferings through which we had both passed, unnecessary sufferings in many respects, God had supported, protected, and added unexpected provisions for our needs along the way. Even the sufferings themselves, she said, have proved to be a part of God's design for my life. And many Christians know Romans 8:28. God works all things together for good to those who love him, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And I think Cook models here this fifth point, the biblical attitude that children should have towards their parents. Not whitewashing or excusing, but recognizing, understanding, forgiving, honoring. So to recap, five things that children owe their parents. First of all, they owe them honor and respect. Second, they owe them obedience. Third, they owe them listening to their counsel. Fourth, they owe them caring for their parents in their old age. And fifth, they owe them reasonable understanding and forgiving of their failures and sins. And so these are the duties of children towards parents. And next week we'll talk about what the duties of the parents are towards the children. Amen? Let me invite you to stand together. Let's join in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we give thee thanks for the families that we have in our church. And we thank you, each one of us, for the families in which we were raised. And maybe some of us could give testimonies of the way things weren't perfect. Maybe they were even gravely sinful. Like this young boy I met in that camp years ago. But oh God, we're thankful that you're a good God. You had a good purpose for us. We're here. And somehow you use the network of circumstances to draw us unto thyself. And again, we give thee thanks. Some of us were raised in Christian homes, and we have mothers and fathers who were conscientious Christians and were careful. But even in those cases, they weren't perfect. They were sinners who came short of thy glory. And so help us, Father, to have a Christ-like attitude in all things. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ, we know how he has forgiven us of our sins. And help us to have that spirit of charity one toward another. Help us to learn, of whatever age we are, how to honor, respect our parents. And thereby we are giving honor to thee. And the family becomes a training school where we learn obedience unto thee. Not mindless obedience, but intelligent obedience unto thee and thy wisdom. And so we thank thee today that we have a heavenly Father. And we thank thee that your banner over us is love. And we ask that you would teach us who are parents how to raise our children, the nurture and admonition of thee, that they might come to know thee early in their lives, remember their Creator in the days of their youth, and serve you for many decades to come. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.